Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here to talk a little bit about Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer number 3. The Shorter Catechism begins with the question, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. The second question and answer deal with the how question. The question is, what rule hath God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? The answer to the how question is this: the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him forever. The next logical question is, what do the scriptures principally teach? I was going to say, what do the scriptures teach? But the actual question in the catechism is, what do the scriptures principally teach? The first three questions and answers to the Shorter Catechism operate as an introduction to the catechism, and we'll see that as this lesson unfolds. What do the scriptures principally teach? The scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. We see in the answer to the catechism the idea of that which the scriptures principally teach and the ideas of what we are to believe and then the duty that follows. In other words, the pattern is that of faith and works, if you will. Faith and how we live. Let's see how the catechism unfolds these principles. The scriptures principally teach. In other words, the scriptures teach many other things, but the main thing among many other things that the scriptures teach has to do with what we are to believe concerning God and our duty, that duty that God requires of us. The scriptures teach many things. The scriptures teach about marriage. The scriptures teach about the duties of elders and deacons in the church. The scriptures in the Old Testament teach about ants and grasshoppers. The scriptures in the Old Testament teach us that feeding our animals is a proper thing to do. But the scriptures principally have to do with teaching us about salvation and what we should believe concerning God, especially concerning our salvation, and what duties God requires of us, especially as those duties pertain to our salvation. Now, what we have to realize is that as the scriptures principally teach the things with regard to salvation, things pertaining to belief in God and our duty towards God, that we can be Bible-believing Christians, and we ought to be Bible-believing Christians, but we ought to be gospel-centered Christians. It's quite possible for you and for me to be Bible-believing Christians and to systematically go through the Bible and learn the things that the Bible has to teach, but at the same time not be gospel-oriented, not be evangelistically oriented. And the Bible presents God and our duty toward God or before God in an evangelistic way, in a way that presents our salvation and requires us to come to God for eternal life. So we must keep this in mind as we look at the Bible and as we study the catechism. Now, the catechism is actually divided into three sections. The answer to question number three seems to give us only two sections. What man is to believe concerning God? These come to us in questions and answers 4 through 38. But as we look at questions and answers 4 through 38, yes, the Bible does ask the question, what is God? And then talks about the nature of God, and we'll do that next time. But the Bible also discusses what Christ did to procure our salvation and how Christ and the Spirit apply to us salvation. In other words, the benefits that come to us as a result of the redemption purchased by Christ. And this is how the Catechism puts it. The Catechism presents the redemption purchased by Christ, and then the Catechism presents the benefits of the redemption purchased by Christ. The benefits of justification and sanctification, and the benefits of the resurrection, you see, and many other benefits. And then the second part of the catechism goes into the duty God requires of man. Question and answer 39. What is the duty which God requireth of man? The duty which God requireth of man is obedience to his revealed will. Well, we see this, first of all, in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, God's revealed will. Even though the revealed will of God is summarized in the dual commandments, the double commandment, to love God and love your neighbor, the revealed will of God is in the moral law, the Ten Commandments. And the duty which God requires of us is the duty to follow the Ten Commandments. And of course, this is a definition of love. What is love? This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. You see, God redeems us, the things we are to believe concerning God, and then God gives us a duty to perform. And as Jesus Christ says, if we love him, we keep his commandments. The commandments of God give us an opportunity to display to God that we truly do love him and truly do believe in him. So the commandments perform a very important function in the Christian life. But then there's a third part of the catechism. Questions and answers 89 through I have it here, 88 through 107. And question and answer 88 is, what are the outward means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption? So we have these three parts. What man is to believe concerning God, questions and answers 4 through 38, the duty God requires of man, questions and answers 39 through 87, and the outward means of grace, questions and answers 88 through 107. Now, understand this, that the outward means of grace are the Word of God, the sacraments, and prayer. These are things that we should believe, and these things also encompass our duty. The means of grace involve both what we are to believe concerning God and our duty toward God. You see, We are to believe the Scriptures, and we are to sit under the preaching of the Word of God and believe the Word of God as it is proclaimed to us. We are to believe that God gave us the sacraments and that Jesus Christ gave us the sacraments as a means of enjoying fellowship with Him. And we are to understand prayer and believe that prayer is one of the means that God uses to accomplish His purposes in the world. We are not only to believe things about the Word, the sacraments, and prayer, but we are to follow the Word. We are to obey the Word. And we are to practice the sacraments. And we are to practice prayer. In other words, sitting under the teaching of the Word of God, involving ourselves in the sacraments, and praying, these are duties that we have before God. They involve things that we are to believe concerning God, but they are also duties that we have before God. And so the outward means of grace involve what we believe concerning God and the duties that God requires. I say again, Westminster Shorter Catechism, Questions and Answers 1 through 3, provide an introduction to the teachings in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And so these first three lessons that we've had on the Shorter Catechism are actually an introduction to the teachings of the Catechism. In the next lesson, in Question and Answer 4, we will delve into the ideas of what we are to believe concerning God. And question and answer 4 is, what is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. We'll unpack that. This begins our exposition of what we are to believe concerning God. And when we get to the second part of the catechism, we'll unpack the Ten Commandments. And then when we get to the third part of the catechism, we'll talk about the means of grace, the Word of God, the sacraments, and prayer. And so now we've simply completed an introduction to the Westminster Shorter Catechism with questions and answers 1, 2, and 3. Thanks for listening.